You're listening to East Tennessee's premier sports radio call-in show. This is The Drive.
All right.
And hello, good afternoon, and welcome another stellar edition of The Drive underway right here on Fox Sports Knoxville. Russell Chance and the Bear reported for duty. Oh, man. Oh, it still hurts. It still hurts. Okay. Obviously, Tennessee's basketball season is over. We are into full off-season mode a week early. It always sneaks up on me, man. I always think I'm prepared for the silly season, and it always sneaks up on me. I'm never as prepared for it as I think I'm going to be. But it's a drag, man. It sucks. I feel like I have processed the defeat personally. Like, I've processed it. I know some of y'all might, like, a lot of y'all probably just, whatever, Tennessee loses Saturday night, like, I'm done. I'm just tuning out. I'm going to church the next morning. I'm going to go, like, do family stuff on Sunday or whatever. I'm not watching basketball. I'm just going to get away from it. And maybe now is your chance to process, and we'll do that for you. But for me, like, the voluntary reaction has become such a great therapeutic remedy to painful Tennessee losses that, we were full-on Maynardville mad, Farragut furious, Petros pissed off all together on Saturday night. Bear and I were here in the Mountain View Chevy studios, and we raged out together. And what happened, Bear? By the end of those 2 hours, like, I felt not good, but a lot better walking out than I did right after the – not good. It still hurt that night. It still hurt in the morning. But for me,
I mean, it did help to process it a little bit, yeah, with your friends.
Yeah, you know, we share and commiserate together, and it's like, he's going through the same thing I'm going through. It's, yeah, okay. So yesterday, so I had that experience on Saturday night. Yesterday, I got up early, got the family, put them in the car. We go to the mountains, spent the day in Pigeon Forge, Gatlinburg, Great Smoky Mountains, did that whole thing. Beautiful day. I come home. And I'm done with this tournament, right? I do not right. want to see another basketball until the NBA playoffs. Like, that's how done,
yeah,
I am.
Yeah, that's all chance.
Don't care about this tournament anymore. But I got home, and it was a good day last night. And I'm feeling, we got home around 6 o'clock, and I'm feeling pretty good. And I'm like, you know what? It's just sports. Come on, Russell. You can do this. Don't let Tennessee's misfortune ruin the joy and wonder that is the NCAA tournament for you. That Maryland Baltimore County school's playing, man. Turn it on. It'll be fun. It'll be fun, I told myself. And so I did. I sat down. Everybody's calmed down. I think the kids might have even been in bed. Like, I turn on the TV and go over. And what is the first thing I see when I turn on that damn game? Is, like, it's, they're in a dead ball situation, timeout. And so, like, when I'm turning on, I'm thinking, okay, well, they also do that cool thing where they have the bottom line scrolling. I'll be able to see what happened in the other games that I missed all day. The first thing I see when I turned on that game last night, I swear to God, Loyola Chicago 62, Tennessee 21. They're replaying the scores from the previous night's game. And I'm just like, oh, that, no, it was the Seinfeld gif of, in the movie theater, just throw your hands up, I'm out. Like, I was like, all right, I can't do it. It's too soon. It brought it all flooding back. In 1 second, I was like, no. And I got a book and read for the rest of the night. And that was it.
Why did you even try it, dude?
Because I thought I was mature enough to handle it. I thought I had moved on. I thought I'd processed things.
No.
I wanted to see Maryland, Baltimore County. I wanted to see some of the magic.
No idea what happened yesterday.
Neither do I.
I don't honestly know who's in the Sweet 16.
Hey, I've got the updated bracket right here. I have not looked at it. I don't know either.
I don't care about it.
Well, I mean,
you said we weren't going to talk basketball this week.
No, I didn't. I didn't say that. Did I say that Saturday night?
We got to talk basketball.
I mean, like, we'll we'll address it. Because again, as I said in the intro, like, I know there are people who haven't had a chance to process it. Like, it was too painful. T-Carp hit me up on he was texting me during the game. He's like, I'm going to call in voluntary reaction. And then as soon as it's over, I get a tweet from T-Carp. I can't call. And I'm sure there are a lot of people who are just like, after that loss Saturday, couldn't do it. Couldn't deal with it. They had to go get drunk, do a lot of, like, compulsive eating. Like, however you handled it Saturday night, you handled it. And then you weren't ready yesterday. I wasn't ready yesterday. I don't know if I'm ready today. I don't know. But if you're just now coming back to the world of sports, if you're just now coming to after one of the all-time gut punch losses in Tennessee athletics history, you can, like, we'll suck it up and do it again, man. We'll do the show for you here this afternoon. We'll commiserate.
I mean, it hurts, but you have to look at it on the side of the way the players are kind of trying to look at it too. How far did we think? Now, what happened was Virginia losing, everybody's eyes got big. Oh, now it looks like an easier road to get back to Elite Eight and try to play Kentucky to get a chance to the Final Four. And then, you know, you came up short. I blame ourselves, and we put a little bit – we looked ahead a little bit too far. But you did think that you beat Loyola. They played good, though. I mean, these type of things, especially in college basketball. College basketball is very gut-wrenching. You play – you can win 30 games as Virginia did, or 25 or whatever as Tennessee did, and then you get to the tournament, and it's one game, and you're done. I mean, it's the worst.
It is – it hurts. It sucks. It's awful. We're all still devastated. And you never, like, you're never going to get over it. I mean, this is a loss that will stick with you forever. This is just one you'll take to the grave. I mean, the sun comes up the next day, though, and we all get better, and we move along here. But this is what, like, this is the 2001 SEC championship game against LSU. This is the 2010 Elite Eight game against Michigan State,
or the championship game against Mississippi State too. When you lose, yeah, that SEC tournament,
the 2000 Sweet 16 game against North Carolina, like, you never get over those games. You never get over those, man. It sticks with you, and that's okay. That's okay. Everybody has those, and maybe someday you get to the top of the mountain and it cancels it out. But
the drastic low that you feel right now and the all-time highs that you were feeling before the Loyola game is the reason why you come back to sports. If it wasn't for things like that, I mean, like, yeah, we'd love for it to be easy, like, you know, win every game.
Here's the thing, though, and this is, I think, in the back of people's minds, not even in the back, in the forefront of people's minds, is, yes, next year is going to be good, too, because we bring everybody back. But it's not going to be as enjoyable, right? It's just not, because the expectations are totally different. This was a magical year, and that's part of why people develop such a connection with this team and these players and this coach and the staff is, man, they're so lovable for rising above the low expectations and achieving anyway. You don't have those low expectations next year. You're going to be picked to do well. You're probably going to be picked to win the league coming in. And guess what? We're not going 18-0 in conference play next year. We're going to lose some conference games, and it's going to drive us all crazy, and we're going to be nitpicking. And the entire season, we're all going to be thinking, even if things are going well, yeah, but what is this team going to do in the tournament? What's it going to be like? And there's going to be so much pressure to get by. I don't think anybody's mad at Rick Barnes right now. I think you're always mad at the coach at some level after a loss, but I think everybody is level-headed enough to say, man, he did a really great job this year. If we lose in the second round next year, if we don't make it to at least the Sweet 16 next year, people are going to be pissed. And rightfully so, because we're going to have a really good team next year. But I think that's part of the disappointment is – this was a magical year, and it was supposed to go further. And like you're saying, Chance, the Red Sea had parted, man. We would have been playing Nevada and probably Kentucky. I mean, the road to San Antonio was paved in big orange, brother.
Yeah, first time ever in the South region, there's no 1-4 seeds in the Sweet 16. Never happened before in a region. Everything lined up for you.
You're getting yourself worked back up, man. I can see it coming.
Well, I mean, what do you want from me? I'm not going to – like, we got to do a show, man. The drive is made of excitement and passion, and I'm going to bring it this afternoon. I'm not going to come in here and, like, pretend that everything's okay when it's not. It was a gut-wrenching loss, and we have to dive back in and dissect it.
I'm sorry, Dubs. It felt like 48 hours you wouldn't work yourself back up into a frenzy again. But you're well on your way, my man.
That's fine, man.
Proceed.
Yeah.
Okay.
I never said I wasn't going to, because I know that – the folks are like, I feel like I'm not a super talented broadcaster. I don't have the best voice in the world. I don't have the best delivery. I'm not the smartest guy in the world. I'm not the funniest guy in the world. But I do think I have my finger on the pulse of this fan base as a talent. And I think that people are still pissed off and hurting right now.
Oh, I know they are.
So we're going to tap into that, and we're going to allow that and nurture that in a healthy way. And that's what we're here for today. So let's throw open the phone lines. 865-546-8200 is your number to get on the show. 546-8200. If you want to jump in here and if you didn't get a chance to listen in, call in on Voluntary Reaction, now's your chance. And let's begin to pick up the pieces together, move forward, and turn over a new leaf. Season's over. Vols are out. Lady Vols are out. Spring practice starts tomorrow. I know some people do not have as much enthusiasm about that. I'm not sure what my enthusiasm level is about it, but I'm interested. And there's some interesting things going on in football, and we'll slowly start to get into that as the weeks go along here, and we move into tomorrow's the first day of spring.
Is it really?
Yep.
Yeah, dude.
Tomorrow is
winter
the first
is over.
Official day of spring. We got some severe weather moving in tonight, evidently.
Yeah, there's some listeners that are right in the path of Northern Alabama.
Headed to Middle Tennessee, too. Hopefully my family and Travis are going
to
be okay.
Oh, yeah, Clarksville.
Travis the rocket surgeon.
Travis, the Negaball Travis in Huntsville, says that he is right in, like, there's going to be some tornadic activity.
Yeah, if he works at the Arsenal, if he's a rocket surgeon, he's got someplace safe to go.
Oh, man. Y'all ready to do this?
Let's go.
I was born ready.
The Drive, Fox Sports Knoxville. Slick Rick Butler back in the house this afternoon as well. Stay with us. We're back with more right after this.
The Drive. We're listening to The Drive. Get some.
So I think I know the answer to this question.
What's the question?
Well, I think I know your two answers to this question. Can you watch? Can you watch the tournament? Now, hold on. I think Bear will say no. I think Chance will say yes.
Yeah.
I think I will say yes, but not yet. Not right now. Am I correct? You're done, Bear.
100%. Bear's not going to watch any more of the tournament. I watched over the weekend. I mean, I watched
you
Sunday.
You watched yesterday?
Yeah, I watched yesterday.
You probably watched Saturday night. You probably just sitting there watching.
I did watch some games Saturday night. I mean, what
are you
else? It's basketball.
Are you going to watch Duke and Kentucky? And who would you root for?
I don't.
Structural failure of the floor?
Guys, I'm not so sure Kentucky's going to make it. I know we think so, but the way this tournament's going, I'm not sure. I wouldn't just bet my mortgage that
they're not any good, man. They're good, but they're not championship good. But what have we said since January when the season started to take shape nationally? There is not a dominant team out there, and I think this tournament is proving that by the fact that two number ones are out. Like everybody's
you know who could go?
Everybody's going down. Who?
A&M.
I mean, if they get hot, they came out against North Carolina and looked very good. But like Russ is saying, because I actually was Bear was talking yesterday. We were talking about Cincinnati, and the game's going on. Bear's like, Cincinnati might do this. They're going to kill him. I was like, I don't know, man. Nevada comes back from 22 points. There's, like you're saying, there's no dominant team. It really is anybody's ball game for these last 16.
I'll just admit, and I feel unprofessional and unprepared for admitting this, but I'll go ahead and admit, I just realized that Texas A&M's still in it. I mean, I'm telling you, I unplugged after Saturday night. I was done.
Not only are they in it, that's one thing I did hear.
They beat the crap out of
Texas,
Carolina.
Texas A&M is still in it. Florida State wind up beating Xavier. I thought that they had the same problem with, you know, Leonard Hamilton. He kind of gets you there like Konzo, but then you just lose when you get to the tournament. He has a lot of talent. They're going to play Gonzaga. Kansas-Clemson. Clemson could beat Kansas. Like, it really – Syracuse beats Michigan State.
That Loyola Chicago team's pretty good.
Yes,
I mean,
they moved the ball.
We should have won.
If Alexander plays, there's no way that team beats us.
I wouldn't say no way, but I think we give our chance a better shot to definitely dominate and win with even more length down low. But they move the ball around very well, and they do not take bad shots. They wait till they get it to the open man. They keep passing till you get to the open man.
I don't know if you guys saw 247 had an article about Kyle and his loss and what it meant to the team and everything. And yeah, I'm with you, Bear. I do think we win. It's nothing in life is 100%, but I think that it's a completely different game with him in there. And Barnes talked about how on Friday they showed them cut-ups of Loyola and what they do well and then Tennessee and how they can combat that. And as they were leaving the film room, Barnes said, maybe we shouldn't have shown that because Kyle was involved in all of the plays that we showed of like how we combat that. And at the time, they're thinking he's, I don't know, if probable, doubtful, or what.
Well, he had said that he was going to be okay to play.
They didn't know. They were certainly hopeful that he was going to be. And he said he got out there in pregame warm-ups, tried to go. Alexander said, quote, I couldn't make a layup. I couldn't get the ball over my head. I couldn't do anything. I was having a hard time running. I mean, what use am I? End quote. So that has to be the hip bruise of all time. Hip bruises. Like, how does the hip bruise affect the ability to lift the ball over your head? I mean, that must have been a huge bruise.
Well, you got to think, you know, your hip flexors, your core. I mean, that's
it's attached like you lift up.
Exactly.
And it pulls on,
yeah,
on those
so
hip
those muscles. Are all your core yeah. muscles when you do
you
a lot of core work.
No, I take it you have.
No.
Well, it's about the same. If you were like you have
friends that have,
you have experienced back pain, it'd be kind of almost the same thing. Like
people that injure their hips or have to, you know.
Do you think there's something that we could have done? I mean, Fulkerson starts and he's a similar player, but I mean it was obvious. You know, 4 minutes in, it's like
the only similarity
between
him and Alexander is they're both really tall.
Yeah.
That's as similar as it gets.
Well,
I mean, we say that, but like Fulkerson, although he hasn't played the same since his injury, a year ago before the injury, we would say that they're pretty close to being the same player.
Yeah, they are,
yeah,
man.
Yeah.
I think Fulkerson can be like that.
Fulkerson's a year behind.
And how is this for irony? We talked all year about how depth was a strength of this team. We go 10, 11, even 12 guys deep when we have to. And one injury had the impact that it did.
So by the end of the year, there was a serious, significant difference in on-the-court playmaking ability between Kyle Alexander and Fulkerson.
I think that's one of the keys here this offseason. And, you know, how do we let this not happen again? And make it further next year is the player development, Fulkerson, Walker, who did not cover himself in glory either, Eves Pons. Can those guys take the step from, oh, yeah, they're nice prospects, I see it, to they're nice players, we can depend on them? Can they get to that spot by next year? I think they probably can, but it's a lot of work to do, obviously. And then in the backcourt, to me, it's the two Jordans, Bone and Bowden. Sophomores, nice players, played a lot for you, did a lot of things well this year. But either one of those guys could have made plays to win the game Saturday for us as well. And, you know, Bowden disappeared on offense a lot down the stretch. And – You know, Bone was just an enigma throughout the entire season. You know, we all saw it. We all see the ability, the explosiveness and everything there. He's good handling the ball, doesn't turn it over much, solid defender, but had trouble finishing and has this weird, I don't want to say love-hate, but kind of up-and-down relationship with his head coach, which you would think changes now that James Daniel graduates and is no longer there to be called upon the minute Bone makes any sort of mistake, no matter how small. But we're probably going to sign another point guard this offseason, and we'll see how that plays into
Bone,
it.
Bone played pretty decent the other night, didn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah, he did. He was one of the standouts, that if you want to, you know, some positive. He played well. Admiral, obviously, he didn't get some touches there late. He went through a drought where he, you know, didn't score any buckets for like 10 minutes. But, yeah, Bone Williams. Bone started to look like that he did see the light. Like, hey, I can get around it, all these guys. Let me use my speed and quickness. Then if you try to cheat me getting to the basket, I'm going to, you know, use my ability to step back and make step back jumper. So he did play well.
Where does this rank among the most gut-wrenching tournament losses that we've experienced?
What? Is it probably three or four?
I think there's a lot of people who say it's number one now, but it's
for me,
so
it's right
fresh.
Behind the Michigan State.
Yeah,
I mean, the Michigan State game, the Michigan game with Konzo, because we were close that year. That team was, that team was built to get to the Final
Four.
I'm sure there was another one in the Pearl years.
07 Ohio State when we blew the 17-point lead.
I mean,
in
North
San
Carolina
Antonio.
Game back in, what, 2000?
Yep, 2000, North Carolina in the Sweet 16.
Yeah, I mean, right now because it's fresh, sure. Have you checked in on King of the Brackets?
I've not. Thank you for reminding me, though. We will do that.
Because I've noticed something just jumped out at me.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
All right, we'll get that together here during our next break. Crown Cleaners, King of the Brackets. Moving right along here, it's for me, it's up there. And here's the thing about the tournament is pretty much everybody ends with heartbreaking loss except for one team, right?
Yeah.
But there are certainly different degrees of heartache. This is bad. The one before it was bad against Michigan in the Sweet 16, and I still think there was a block against Jarnell that should have been called. We should have had free throws there to win. The loss before that to Michigan, Pearls last year, was a blowout. That was painful.
Did you see that stat about that? March 18th?
No.
That was the date of the Michigan game and the game yesterday.
Which Michigan game?
The one where they blew us out by, like, what, 35 yeah. or something? And then he got – how big were they up yesterday on him? 40-something?
Oh, God, I don't know. They got drilled, though. I'm telling you, man, I tuned out. I have no idea what is going on in this tournament outside of Tennessee's loss. And I'll try and put the pieces together here in real time.
I was paying attention. I watched Twitter yesterday.
I know they got drilled. Who beat them?
Clemson.
Clemson, 84-53.
Ooh.
And I think at one point in the game they were up by 42.
And that was painful for a different reason, right? Because we knew that was Bruce's last game. It had broken like right before the game that they were going to fire him, and so we were entering into this big unknown. And like, even though it wasn't a close loss, I don't know. I visited with somebody this morning who is an Alabama fan, and they got drilled by Villanova. And I was like, man, I don't know what's worse, just to get absolutely destroyed like that or to lose in the way we did. And I said, I think it's probably the way we did. And the Alabama fan was like, I think you're right.
Yeah. So, I mean, they got their pants pulled down.
If you're going to beat me, just go ahead and beat my brains out, man. Don't tease me like that. I mean, that's the thing. It's like we had all given up. Right? We had all given up with like 2 minutes, 2 or 3 minutes to go, and it's a 10-point game. And you're like, oh, well, I think I tweeted out, you know what? Hats off. They're just the better team tonight. And as soon as I tweet that out, maybe it's my fault. I should have tweeted out earlier. Because as soon as I did, Tennessee goes on this amazing run and ends up taking the lead. And I'm sitting there thinking, all right, I'm going to have to eat the sweetest plate of crow of all time.
How close was he to getting that steal?
Oh, so close, man.
That whole damn game.
So close. And it's one of those games, too, when you lose like that,
I'm depressed again.
You just replay the last sequence over and over, and you're, as if it's going to change, right, in your mind. Like, Bone, for whatever reason, I guess he didn't want to foul.
Well, that's what I was when I called you guys on after the game. He stays in the crouch position. He's guarding him. He just doesn't go up with the shooter.
He has his hand up, but he stays on the floor.
Yeah, he stays on the floor. He doesn't get off his feet.
Do you think it would? I mean, could he have blocked it? Could he have?
I think that he could have. I mean, the guy hits the front of the rim and gets a roll. Like, if you go up, it's
Would they have called it in that situation? Because I go back to the Elite Eight year when we played Michigan State. To get there, we beat Evan Turner's Ohio State team. And remember how that game ended with J.P. Prince blocking his shot. And, like, they could have called a foul.
I think late in the game, though, you try not to as an official. Because you don't want that game to end on a free throw. So you try not to as an official.
Officials.
But that gets
that
back.
What was that guy's name?
Don Daly.
He's on the list. We put somebody else on the list, James.
That gets back to, though, what I was saying the other night. Is like, to me, and I realize this could work against Tennessee in that game, or it could work for us this game, is like, if there's a foul, call it. Who cares how much time's left or how big the game is? Like, call the rules the way they are written. That's all I want. If it's a foul, call it. But that was one is I do wonder – Bone could have contested a little bit more. And then we all had the same reaction, right? When the shot goes in, we all immediately looked at the clock.
Yeah, you knew it was 3.8, too much time.
Plenty of time to get up the court. And, I mean, Bone, to his credit, they got organized quickly. He gets up the court. I thought maybe he could have taken one more dribble, get a little bit closer. Maybe he could have dished it, handed it off. Very hard to criticize. I mean, in that situation, you've
got
to be
still got a good
so much pressure.
Good attempt up, almost made it. I also think about what if, probably what if, somebody what if. Else thinks about it too. When you score with Grant, because the announcers are talking about it, you kind of almost hurt yourself by scoring too quick. But it was a great play design out of the timeout to isolate, get him sealed off, and get the one on one with Grant so he can make a move, because you knew Grant Williams was going to make that if he gets one on one with a smaller defender. But the thing was, you left a lot of time on the clock. Maybe if you kill a couple more seconds, but you got to take the shot if it's there. So there's a lot of things.
All right, we'll do a quick timeout. We'll update King of the Brackets. We will get to your phone calls. We will get to it all. We will get to it all. We will do it all this afternoon. Stay with us. It's The Drive. Fox Sports Knoxville. Back with more after this.
The Drive. Hands in the air. Pants on the ground. The Drive continues.
Fox Sports Knoxville. The Drive continues. King of the Brackets presented by Crown Cleaners. So we got two tied up at the top. J.M. Barton and BPE.
That's not what jumped out at me. Scroll down. Was that 18?
Hold on. We'll get there. We'll go through some of these. So two people tied at one. We got UT Cincinnati at third. The two guys tied at one. One guy has Virginia winning it all. One guy has Michigan State winning it all. They've both been eliminated. So you got to think there's going to be a shakeup there.
Yeah.
Third place guy has Gonzaga. They're still alive. Fourth place is a looks like at least a 6 or 7 way tie. We got one guy has two people at Villanova winning. One guy has Duke. Oh, that's the red woman. I believe that is Becky Loves Dogs. So she's still alive. Because she's a Duke fan.
Shout out to Game of Thrones.
Becky Loves Dogs, the Dukie?
Yeah, she's a big time Duke fan.
Huge Duke fan.
What are you doing with your life, Becky?
So what's what have you got, Bear? What stands out to you?
Look down there around 18. There's a familiar name in there. The only person I see in like the top 50 that has Kentucky winning it all.
How many times has he won?
Three-time champion, 4 years.
Jason Garner.
Jason Saban Garner. If Kentucky wins it all, I think he'll probably win it.
So he's got
– he'd be four out of five.
There's no way, man.
Those are Saban-like numbers.
The only – one of the – few things that would give me any joy in this tournament is seeing Kentucky lose. If they win, I might just shut down King of the Brackets.
I mean, I feel the same way about when Garner goes out on King of the Brackets. It's kind of like a
read against
Alabama.
You can't shut down King of the Brackets. The Brackets, the Brackets, the Brackets. You can never do that. Don't do that. Hey guys, like it's
that's
time
how
for,
everybody says it. Now.
I see how you guys walked in here today. It's time for us to keep our heads held high.
How can we keep our heads held high? Held high for what? We're losers. We suck at everything.
Chicago
can't win
anything. Loyola.
We're probably about
to
lose
down for our milk money on Saturday.
We're probably about to lose the orange and white game.
Hey, we let them off the hook.
They are who we thought they were.
Oh, man.
You going to be able to stomach Garner winning it with Kentucky?
I have nothing against Jason Garner. Garner's a great dude, man, but Kentucky winning, that would make me absolutely – I want to puke in my soup just thinking about it.
Blech. Get ready.
God, man. God, Kentucky fans, bunch of –
well, because if it's Nova – let's say Nova and Duke makes it over there on the other side, they'll – you know, in the semifinal, they'll kill each other.
Toothless.
Kentucky will sleepwalk right to it.
Meth addicted yokels.
Easy.
Take it easy, Russ.
Class.
Let other people have class. I'm Petros perturbed right now. I'm Hall's hacked off. I'm Maynardville mad. Mm. Let's get Phil in here. Go to the phone lines. 865-546-8200. Phil is next on the drive. Good afternoon, Philly.
What do you say, W?
Hey, Phil.
How are you chancing better, though?
Well, Phil.
Guess not too good. I mean,
we've been better.
Sound worse than me, W. I've seen more devastating losses than you have.
At least you've seen Tennessee win an SEC tournament in your lifetime.
Yeah, that was a long time ago. Back when I was young and dumb.
I don't even know what that looks like anymore, Phil.
No. We got there. We had a good regular season, and we had some good quality wins. But there's just something missing. I think if we had gone Sweet 16, got beat, I think we could have took it a lot better. I don't think that team we beat us is that good. I think the golf's the right time, and Alexander didn't play, and I don't know what Barnes is doing starting Fulkerson. I don't think it lost the game, but sure didn't help none. And then when Admiral Schofield's hot as he was. I don't take him out of the game because he never got back on track after that. He came back in and got his two fouls, and then he was never the same.
Yeah. It's kind of a perfect storm, right, Phil? I mean, anything that could go – and we're playing like the sweetheart team, the darlings of the national media. You know, everybody's against us. That didn't help any. And we just didn't get it done.
I know we shot too many three-point shots, but it's perplexing to me, a team that small, we couldn't get more fouls drawn on them than that. And that Daly guy, he's atrocious of not giving Grant Williams calls.
What were the numbers, Barrett? He called 13 fouls against us and five
against them and all four.
All four of Admiral Schofield's.
One, Donald Daly.
Oh, my God.
He's number one with a bullet.
And he's been consistently bad when UT plays. We've had him. Barnes needs to go.
What are some other games we've had him? Can you remember off the top of your head?
I don't remember. I know somebody that knows all this stuff, but I don't, you know, I got too much on my mind to worry about referees. But, you know, refereeing didn't lose the game. But, you know, all lines to guys, we're – if you told us before the year that we would win the SEC regular season and lost – and gone 1-1 and lost one, and apparently we were taking it, but it still feels empty. But we're all lost, and this team overachieved, and we need more talent on this team to go where we want to go. In the end, Kentucky and A&M were the two best teams with talent in the SEC, and they survived and advanced.
Kentucky and Texas A&M?
Yeah, weren't they preseason pick to be first and second in the SEC?
That's it. You know, I think Florida was up there too. Those were the three teams that were expected to be the bell cows of the league. That's an interesting point, Phil.
And all I said, we know we need a guard. We either need somebody to big time score, or we need another point guard. to go with Bone, and because Bowden has digressed this year, and I'm really concerned about him. And we need another rim protector besides Alexander. I do like Derek Walker. I like Pons, but they're not good at protecting the rim. And who knows if Fulkers is ever going to come around. And who knows if, what's his name, they redshirted him this year, the big guy, if he's going to do anything.
Zach Kent.
Yeah. So.
Big question.
I still be some attrition with roster, though, because some of these guys are never going to play.
I mean, my biggest concern would probably be Fulkerson at a standpoint of what you're looking at your bench. I think Derek Walker is going to if he has a good offseason, he's going to be really good. You start to see him get some minutes, you know, towards the end of the season, maybe Rocky Top League and all that over the summer is going to help him out. I think Pons, too. I think just more minutes, and when he gets more comfortable with, you know, just the cultural, just moving from France to over here, I think that's going to help him a lot this offseason. You've seen his physical ability and how raw he is. But, yeah, you're right. Still need to bring in a guard. Still probably do need to bring in a guard.
Yeah, and we don't have a five-man to back up Alexander. I mean, that's big. I mean, we got by all year until this game. I mean,
well, I think
it's amazing how valuable he is on our interior defense.
You got to hope that Kent progresses. And, I mean, looking at the five, I mean, that's probably just going to be if Kyle's not in there playing, you're going to see Derek Walker. You're going to see Grant at the undersized five because he's able to guard, you know, a lot of those big guys. So, I mean, I think they're going to rotate with that. But hey, guard play.
Barnes was telling us all year long about Fulkerson when he was really struggling at the beginning of the year. Barnes several times told the media, Fulkerson is going to be a key for us down the stretch. And he just never got it together. But you could tell, like, it's pretty clear that Barnes viewed Fulkerson as Kyle Alexander's backup. And that he wanted a guy who had, you know, the 7-foot type wingspan.
Yeah.
You know, maybe not a true 7-footer, but he wanted that guy who could protect the rim at all times on defense. And when Kyle went out and Fulkerson couldn't handle it, we became a different team the other night. Yeah. And we had never seen that team before, and they didn't know how to react.
Well, Fulkerson is not a five. I don't care how long his arms are. Even if he's 100%, he's not a five. He's a four. I mean, and Derek Walker's a four. I mean, you know, of course, there's not many great fives out there. I guess
I don't think it matters anymore, Phil. I think just
– no, you might be right. What are they going to do next year? I mean, that's the key. I mean, can they enhance this roster to make it better? I mean, because everybody else in the SEC is bringing in talent. I mean, can't stay status quo. You got to get better.
Well, I'm with you. You know, obviously they're going to add at least one player. They're going to add a point guard.
Yeah.
And maybe there's – maybe somebody takes off. You know, it's college basketball in 2018. It's a game of attrition, and it wouldn't surprise anybody, I don't think, if somebody decided they wanted to go somewhere else.
I'm surprised Bear hadn't brought up Holly yet. See
you. You want to pour salt in the wound?
No need to do that, guys.
Any thoughts on Lady Vol basketball?
I'm disgusted.
Who'd they get beat by?
Oregon
State.
Scrappy defensive team. Forced a lot of turnovers on them.
Okay, that
should have went. They should have went further, though. Obviously,
I mean, that came down to their big. I can't remember the girl's name. Outplayed Mercedes Russell in the fourth quarter.
Who graduates now? And I know the narrative is, well, you got this freshman class, and you got more good freshmen coming in. But I put it out there earlier in the season. I've seen all I need to see out of Holly Warlick. I realize you can't fire her. I'm not even calling for her head because the fact is she wins 20-plus games and she goes to the tournament, and I think she'll continue to do that. I mean, she could coach here another 20 years and do that every single year. Win a bunch of games, go to the tournament. I don't think she ever wins a national championship, and I don't even think she ever gets to a Final Four, man.
She's not going anywhere.
Yeah, it's a tough spot. And if you're Fulmer, you're kind of stuck because – she's not winning enough to justify any sort of, you know, Rick Barnes needs a raise now. You're going to have to reward him. Holly Warlick, she's not doing well enough to warrant that kind of reward, and she's not doing poorly enough to fire her, so you're just kind of stuck.
In mediocrity. And we're mediocre right now in women's basketball. We are.
If she hadn't been a – if she weren't a local girl and a former player and Pat's hand-picked successor, yeah, you go ahead and you hand her a pink slip today and you go on and get your next coach. But you can't not take those things into consideration. I know the people, you shouldn't. It's a cold, hard business decision and she ain't getting it done. Well, okay. That's you can't not take the fact that she went to Bearden and played for Pat and was her hand-picked and hand-chosen successor into consideration. You can't. Stay with us. It's The Drive, Fox Sports Knoxville. More of your phone calls coming up. Stay with us.
The Drive. I told you there'd be shows like this. This is The Drive.
UT Football Pro Day going on this morning. We'll have some numbers, 40 times, things like that for you coming up here in just a little bit. Otto is next. What's up, Otto?
Hey, afternoon, guys. I was following two teams in the tournament this weekend, and both of them lost their centers in the prior games. Interestingly, I think both of those centers were lost in plays or in games where the conduct, the chippy play of the opposing teams, if it was a conference run, it probably would have been reviewable for discipline the next game. But in the tournament, they certainly swallow the whistle in a lot of that. But I think Purdue, they had a 7-foot backup center that has a pretty good wingspan. So he may even be better defensively than the starter. And I think they've got overall better guard punch than Tennessee had. So I think what hurt Tennessee, it wasn't just defensively. I really think losing Alexander just really got us out of sync offensively from the inside out. I don't think we don't have enough guard punch to make up for that. So without any, you're talking about most valuable player in the league is Grant. While I agree with that, I think that was well deserved. One could make the argument, you know, by evidence of his loss, that Alexander was the most valuable player on the team because his inside presence was critical to us. I honestly attribute that to why we just couldn't get over the hump against a very game Loyola team.
I think it was that, and then you know, you start off that you don't have Alexander for the entire game, and then for how long was Schofield on the bench? Like 20 minutes?
There's 8 minutes of game time.
But it just completely took him out of the flow, and it allowed Loyola Chicago to, you know, completely concentrate down low on
listen,
Grant.
Listen, I understand, and maybe hindsight being 20-20, we should just let him play through it. And if he fouls out, he fouls out. Maybe we build up a big enough lead to where we just step on their throats. But I see what Barnes is thinking. Listen, I'm going to trust my team, man. I'm going to put in – Pons, I'm going to put in those guys and trust that Lamonte and Grant and the other guys are going to step up and we're going to be okay. And
Jordan.
It didn't happen.
With a key injury like that, I think what was in Barnes' mind is you've got to have productive minutes. If he's not injured, you're not 100% sure this isn't the game where Alexander's going to step up and score 12, 14 points and get you over, and that he's going to be the guy. That was the way it was Tennessee all year. So when you take that variable out of the equation, someone you desperately need for your half-court set, again, just really misfortunate. Purdue had the backcourt to account for those that lost production and the loss of flow, and Tennessee didn't. I agree. I think it's important to have a solid backup five. I do. I think that was also a difference in the Purdue game. But you got to have the backcourt also step up.
What's up with with Haas? Is he out for the tournament? Is he going to be back?
Well, I've talked to some insiders, and there's attempts to allow him to play. In fact, the sports therapist up there were trying to make a little
what's he got?
well, allow him to play. But all, but the problem they had is they, I think the brace that they put on his fractured elbow did not meet NCAA regulation.
Ooh, yeah.
So it's unclear to me as to, I think they wouldn't have even attempted it if they thought he could get some minutes, but what they attempted was not consistent with regulation. They got a week to figure it out, and it's an engineering school. So my thought is you may see him a little bit next game. Right. I wouldn't be surprised.
Thanks, Otto. Good stuff, my man. Appreciate the phone call. Hour number two of The Drive coming up right here on Fox Sports Knoxville. Russell Chance of the Bear back with more. Stay with us.